Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Ben Golliver from the Washington Post covers the NBA, of course. Ben, how are you? Thanks for joining us.
I'm doing well, guys. How are you?
Good, good. And Ben with us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. We're going to get to this a little bit. There's just a story in the NFL about how they're going to continue to limit access to reporters, even if they've been vaccinated, which I think is a total joke. Are you finding this frustrating? Last year, I think we all understood, but if a reporter's vaccinated, they should have. I think they should have access back to the locker room again. What say you, Ben?
Well, I think the NBA is trying to move in that direction gradually, yeah. But I think with the playoff stakes, they don't want any rush to a situation where they get themselves into trouble that they weren't expecting. It's been a really frustrating year from an access standpoint. There's no question, but I also think that everybody just kind of realizes you're in it together this year. Everything's been weird. My hope is personally, like the start of next season, that we would get back to normal business and hopefully we're back down on the event level of the arena. So you're closer to the guys when they're warming up, you're chatting with people in the hallway. That's kind of my goal, my hope.
Yeah, I don't like what's going on at all. And I think these leagues are going to start using it as an excuse, and I don't like that. But anyway, let's get to some other things right now. We were just talking about LeBron, and I know you tweeted the video of him not shaking hands. Some of the fans are angry, and I think it is, he probably should have done it. I don't think it's a huge deal. I mean, you got a problem with LeBron not shaking hands at the end of the series?
Well, in general, he's always shook hands. That's kind of the interesting thing to me. I mean, he tends to do that, especially recently, like in the Golden State Finals, for example. He would always make a point to do that.
True.
I suspect he was upset at how Phoenix conducted themselves down the stretch of that game. They're dancing on the court, maybe rubbing it in the Lakers' face a little bit. And look, the Lakers kind of got what they deserved, didn't they? I mean, they were dancing on the bench earlier in the series, doing all sorts of goofy stuff with the pantomiming moves from the bench, Andre Drummond and all that. So I think it was just that type of series. We saw a number of flagrant fouls and a couple ejections earlier. So I think it was just a tense situation. I mean, he did try to clean it up, though. He went and gave that signed jersey to Devin Booker afterwards, but I didn't hear him say anything about Chris Paul in his post-game interviews. I don't know if you guys caught that as well. I mean, those guys have been friends for a long time. I would have expected, some sort of a salute to him. So maybe this one just hit hard, I mean, it's a tough situation. The team just kind of falls apart without Anthony Davis, three straight losses. And maybe it was just weighing on him. I don't know.
Ben, was it a mistake to play AD last night?
No, look, you're going to try to put him out there, whatever you can do. I mean, you saw what happened when he didn't play. It was even uglier than when he did, And I think everybody understood from, even before the game tipped off that he was not right. I mean, he comes out of the locker room. He's the last guy. He's barely shuffling onto the court. During pregame warmups, he tossed up a couple layups and he immediately just started stretching. They do all these convoluted pregame celebrations where they're throwing football passes to each other. And I mean, he's not even jumping for the passes, right? So it was like all very obvious. This guy's trying to Willis Reed motivational, inspiration type of thing for his teammates. And it just wasn't going to happen. The first time he tested the groin, it gave out on him, and he was trying to block that shot. And that was that. But look, they were done either way. I mean, to me, they were pretty much done in the second half of game four when Chris Paul just, diced them up, and picked them apart from the pick and roll. So I think no matter what they tried to do, play AD, not play AD, their season was going to end last night.
Ben, what percentage of the audience under the age of 35 would get the Willis Reed reference, do you think?
Well, that's a great point. You know, look, it wasn't like I was alive for it either, but, you know, for
How old are you, Ben?
I'm 37, you know, so I read about it in the history books. But, you know, way back in the 70s, a guy comes out injured, inspires his teammates to an incredible finals victory, and it lived on forever, and Knicks fans haven't had anything to cheer about really since then, right? So there you go.
It's funny. I feel like, I don't know, I mean, I'm old, a lot older than you. I'm 50. I didn't see it, but I feel like that reference is so iconic. I guess I grew up in New York. But I feel like, I don't know, for whatever reason, I feel like younger fans, and maybe this is unfair, maybe every older generation thinks the younger fans don't care as much or whatever. I think it feels like there's a less of interest in the history of all the sports right now. I don't know. What do you think?
Well, I mean, now we're in this load management era too, right? Where like it's even out there, right? You got to wonder how would they handle Willis Reed in this situation in the modern NBA? And we do so much analysis on injuries now. I'm sure they weren't doing any of that stuff back then. No. I'm like, is this guy going to play? How is he moving? I mean, I'm shooting like paparazzi videos of AD's workouts because everybody wants to see what he looks like before the game. We probably, you know, pay a little bit too much attention to the injured guys and not enough attention to the healthy guys. Like Booker, who had 47 last night, or Chris Paul, who had another really nice game to close it out.
Is there anything we can learn from this series about the Lakers or not? Because it was just 2 months after they won the championship and they started the regular season and all the injuries. Like, people are talking about this team is done. They'll never win another championship. LeBron will never win another championship as the best player on the team. Are those assessments too quick to jump to?
I wouldn't race all the way there, but I did think we had some key takeaways from this group, which is, you know, they really need a third star because they need to have protection if AD gets hurt. And LeBron was not able to crank it up all the way. And the older that he gets, the closer to 40 he gets, the more difficult it's going to be for him to kind of consistently do that. I think we saw a lot of their supporting cast just exposed in that game, didn't we? I mean, a lot of the shooters just did not show up for the last three games in that series. Kyle Kuzma had his role kind of moved around all season long. They needed more from him. He wasn't able to give it. Schroeder, you know, after turning down an extension, comes back around at his post-game press conference, is almost begging for his job after he played terribly against the Suns. I mean, that was a really interesting, you know, about face from him as he's been negotiating all year long for big money. And then Drummond, they kind of tipped their hand and said, look, we don't actually trust Drummond in key situations because they shut him down for game six in favor of Marc Gasol, who was kind of on his last legs all season long too. So they've got some big holes in the rotation. I think that's what we learned. They've got to address point guard. If it's not Schroeder, they're going to need to get somebody else in there as a secondary ball handler. And they need to figure out a better answer at center because they were platooning all these different guys this year and none of them really worked out.
Ben Golliver with us from the Washington Post. Ben, do we have like a real changing in the guard? I mean, there's so many young stars. If the Clippers get eliminated, it feels like it's all young guys and Chris Paul in the West. Are we seeing obviously you still got Brooklyn, but is the changing of the guard happening right in front of our eyes right now? Or not quite yet?
No, you hit it. I mean, the only people who are standing between the next generation and the current generation is Kevin Durant, James Harden, Kyrie Irving, and the Nets. That's it. Everybody else is kind of itching for that first title, whether it's Giannis, whether it's Booker, who you mentioned, whether it's the Jazz guys who've kind of been pounding away at it here for the last couple of years, whether it's Jokic who's going to win MVP this year. I mean, all these guys are sort of staking their claim. You know, I would say that some of this has to do with like a bubble hangover effect, though. You know, I think you saw a lot of the kind of teams that we expected to be back, they just ran out of gas. I mean, Miami, Boston, the Lakers. I mean, it was all one of those situations where like, it was a straw that broke the camel's back type of thing for all those teams. And so I don't want to rush them out the side door, but I do think it's actually a really interesting situation for the NBA because they can't rely on the main stars that they've been promoting here for the last decade. There's no LeBron. There's no Steph. There's no AD, no Lakers, no Warriors. I mean, they're going to have to start to really give a lot of attention to some of these smaller market organizations who have been building things up the right way, whether it's Denver, whether it's Phoenix, whether it's Milwaukee in the Eastern Conference. They've got a real shot at this thing, too. So I think the door is wide open for a lot of these people. I didn't even mention Joel Embiid, who's in the mix, trying to make a deep postseason run for the first time, too. So I think that's the real intriguing storyline here over the next 6 weeks. Who's ready to kind of go and sit on that throne because it's wide open?
What happens with Kawhi Leonard if the Clippers lose to the Mavericks?
Well, good luck getting inside his head, right? I mean, we've all been trying to play that game for years, and predicting his moves is difficult. I would just say the body language around that team, watching their games in Staples Center as Luka just rips them to shreds, has been crazy to watch, right? I mean, like, Kawhi takes that shot. Everybody sees Rondo kind of looking at him all funny after he misses that shot at the end of the game five. He walks off the court, walks right by Steve Ballmer, the owner, and those guys don't even really make eye contact or acknowledge each other. It's a strange situation. I mean, we know Kawhi likes being in Southern California. I mean, to me, that's still going to be the most obvious situation, is where he just signs a long-term extension to stay with the Clippers. And look, if that means they have to lower their expectations a little bit, you know, so what? At least he's at home. At least he has the money. And a lot of the other situations out there that do have cap space, I'm not sure how appealing they would be. It's just difficult to picture Kawhi Leonard, Mr. Load Management, playing for Tom Thibodeau in New York City. I mean, he loves his privacy. He's taking helicopters to games, you know, just throwing him in the middle of Madison Square Garden. It's difficult for me to picture that. So, you know, if they do go out, I kind of think it's going to be one of those situations where there's probably going to have to be some more heads that roll. You know, Ballmer hates being disappointed. We saw, you know, how he moved on from Doc Rivers last year. But my guess is he would come back around and say, look, I'm still better off with Kawhi than without Kawhi. And if you didn't have Kawhi and you're the Clippers, I mean, you're dead in the water. You know, Paul George leading that team with a whole bunch of vets who are kind of past their primes, and that team's going nowhere.
I agree with you. Kawhi Leonard in the Knicks is a disaster. I don't think that would work at all. I think you're right about that. Could you, Ben, do you see any chance of LeBron at some point leaving again, leaving the Lakers this time, and going somewhere else again to play with another great star, another team? Or is he too Hollywood now, and he's just sticking with that?
Well, you know, this is kind of my out there take. I think the next great star he's going to be playing with is Bronny. You know, I think if there's any way that he moves, it's because his son gets drafted somewhere, or there's just a situation where he wants to have that one, like, final go-round. I mean, I do think that this – can you imagine the takes we'd be having right now if LeBron didn't sign the extension before the start of the season, right? If Anthony Davis didn't sign that extension. And both of those kind of caught people by surprise. And I really think both of those deals – were made with an eye towards the pandemic in terms of guys just locking up their guaranteed money, not sure where the NBA's financial picture was going. And so I think that's the one good piece for the Lakers here, is at least they know they've got their two stars, you know, locked in for the foreseeable future. But to me, it's all about the Bronny chase. I've seen him play at Sierra Canyon. They drew big crowds out there before the pandemic. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of excitement as he progresses through high school. And I just think it's going to be the Ken Griffey Jr. and senior thing. Whenever LeBron gets a chance to do that, he's going to leap at that opportunity.
Hey, when you look at the Western Conference right now, I was telling my partner, I really like the Jazz. I just worry about their playoff experience, certainly if they get to the NBA Finals. Do you see any holes in that team, or do you like somebody else coming out of the West?
Well, their biggest holes was, 3-4 on defense, right? Dealing with big, athletic, perimeter wings has been kind of their bugaboo. They don't have to deal with LeBron now. They don't have to deal with Anthony Davis. They might not have to deal with Kawhi Leonard and Paul George. So I think if you're the Jazz right now, you're sitting pretty, rubbing your hands, saying, this thing broke perfectly for us. And you're probably rooting really hard for Luka Doncic and the Mavericks tonight. I do think that they've kind of flown under the radar all season long. People were real quick to write them off as a regular season team. Everybody jumped on them when they lost that game one. And then Mitchell came back and they completely handled their business. They're very complete on offense. They can get lots of high-efficiency shooters on the court basically at all times. And then defensively, they're rock solid. And people like to pick on Gobert, and I understand that. There's been some trouble for him, you know, defending small ball lineups in the past. But if you look around right now, everybody's playing big. You know, Phoenix plays big with Ayton. Jokic is obviously an absolute monster, with Denver. And you go right down the list, basically everyone who they would have to face likes to keep a traditional center on the court. The one exception to that could be like Brooklyn if they want to go small in the finals. But I think if you're Utah, you worry about that when you get there. So I think they're in a really good position matchup-wise. I think their health is the biggest question. Can Conley stay on the court with that hamstring? And then is Mitchell back to 100% and able to kind of maintain it at 100%? But he looked really, really good and dynamic against Memphis. And I think I think they're underrated. Right now, to me, they're the favorites to come out of the West.
Ben, the last week, a team that's not coming out of any conference anytime soon, the Cleveland Cavaliers, their GM Kobe Altman had what I would deem it one of the most embarrassing press conferences I've ever heard in my life. He was talking about this team as if they were going to the playoffs or they had just won the NBA title, talking about how everything's going right. I mean, he was patting himself on the back for they've been the worst team in the NBA for 3 years. Is there any reason for hope right now? Like, what do you think of the job Kobe Altman's done over the first three years in Cleveland since LeBron?
I was actually going to ask you about that because you were talking about media access earlier. Is that part of the deal? I mean, I understand that they don't like to talk, do they, right now?
No, they hate talking. No. They did do a Zoom call press conference, and I mean, you probably didn't hear any of it because why would you listen to a Cavs press conference right now? But it was, I mean, if you ever have a chance to listen to it, I mean, it was unbelievable to me the amount of back padding he was doing for himself for a team that's literally been the worst team in the NBA the last 3 years.
Yeah, you know, it's been tricky too because, like, you know, there's been some real obvious signs of dysfunction. The coaching change, you know, a couple years ago would have been the biggest one. I mean, the Kevin Love situation down the stretch got a lot of attention as well. I mean, I think I would be more excited if I was a Cavs fan if I knew for sure either Garland or Sexton was going to be a future star. And I'm just not the world's biggest Sexton fan. I think he put up the bigger numbers this year. I just still think, you know, he kind of plays with blinders. He's not that natural, like, lead guard, you know, dynamic playmaker, both, you know, scorer and passer for his teammates. So I just still have some questions there. I think Garland's a really interesting player, but, you know, he's a little bit behind, I think, in terms of the developmental cycle. I actually like their draft pick, you know, going for Okoro and just playing the long-term game. I understood their thought process there rather than looking for a quick fix. But, I mean, sometimes you get so deep into it, if you're not the optimistic person, no one else is going to be optimistic. So I imagine that's how he's probably approaching this situation. But look, these guys need a new franchise player more than every other organization in the league, with the possible exception of the Houston Rockets, right? So yeah. I think this draft is huge for them, and they've got to find someone who can really be in that role because right now I don't see it on their roster.
No, you're right. Ben's got a new book out, Bubble Ball Inside the NBA's Fight to Save a Season. Ben, give us one little tidbit that we may not have known that we can find in your book.
Well, you know, I try to take you inside the bubble. I was there for 93 days and 92 nights. And so, I mean, that's a long stay at Disney World. You know, some of the tidbits, I was sitting courtside at these games in empty arenas, right? So I'm hearing all the trash talk. I'm hearing what LeBron's saying to, like, Robert Covington in the second round. I mean, Covington is like, for the Houston Rockets, he's whining for fouls. And LeBron's basically telling him to shut up and, you know, don't worry about it. All you ever do is grab me. And, you know, the Lakers, when they're pounding the ball to Anthony Davis on the low block, they're shouting out all these different terms of types of food, like, roast beef and, steak. And they're yelling all these names out to the, to the opposing players, letting them know that Anthony Davis is about to eat them up. But, you know, it's not just about the basketball. It's also about the off-court stuff too, right? It's how did they handle the shutdown, you know, when the Milwaukee Bucks decided, hey, look, we're not going to take the court. So I go through that entire protest in lots of detail. Obviously, there's a discussion about the business impact of trying to bring the season back after the four-month shutdown because of the pandemic. And it's also just a lot of color. You know, what's it like living at Disney World when LeBron's riding by on a bicycle or Brad Stevens is walking circles around the loop or, all these other NBA characters who you would never see in this type of environment who are all trapped there, really, you know, and kind of all in it together trying to crown a champion. So it was a wild experience. By the end of it, I was bathed in champagne because the Lakers had nobody else to celebrate with, so they just decided to turn the bottles on the reporters. And for me, it was like the most memorable reporting experience of my life, and I just tried to document it for history, kind of like a time capsule.
It is amazing because we were just in the beginning of our conversation, and we're going to continue this next segment. We're talking about the lack of access from reporters since COVID started, and except for this one example of in the bubble where you guys had better access than ever. You know, it's so strange. Such a contradiction with the rest of the media and what's going on everywhere else in sports right now.
Well, I think it's a great example, actually, because I think the bubble got a lot of buzz, didn't it? I mean, there was a lot of people, especially on social media, who were excited about it. And, you know, videos from these press conferences or from the practices or the games that, you know, I would put up would just get an unbelievable number of views. And so there was a lot of excitement there. And I think ultimately, like, you know, having people try to tell the player's story, it humanized them. And the bubble was hard, you know, and I was right there co-signing with what the players were saying about how challenging it was mentally. I mean, I put on weight. I was anxious. I slept terribly when I was there. I mean, it was a really tough experience. And so I think there's a lot of benefits to access. And I think the NBA gets it better than most leagues. And I think the bubble was one of those situations where they realized, look, if we're going to do this, we better have some people documented up close. And I expect there's probably going to be documentary movies and films coming down the pipeline at some point. I mean, LeBron was being followed around by The Last Dance, filmmakers and cameramen. So I'm sure we're going to get a lot more bubble content down the road.
Interesting. Ben, great stuff. Thanks for joining us, man.
All right, guys. Take care.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.